Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 23rd of March, recording at 6:44 Greenwich Mean Time. A bit earlier than usual, so I've got a function this evening. Now, important developments, and there are several in here. First, among the very influential stock market indices for this cycle that I have been monitoring, Australia. Downward dynamic here today, fell 1.49%. Now, that's not earth-shattering of its own, but the point is, well, the thing about dynamics is that they are a relative comparison. And this is the biggest down day that we've seen on Australia, well, for a good many months. I haven't checked all that far back, but don't need to. It also marks an upside failure following the new high that was seen only 2 days ago. So as far as I'm concerned, all of the stock market indices virtually have shown some ending characteristics, and that just highlights the fact that we have a we very definitely have a correction underway. Now I'll come back to that, so there's more highlights here. The next important one is that bonds slumped in the U.S. When we had the release of, what was it, I think it was the CPI data. So Treasury bonds slumped, but then they recovered. Now you remember they had a very big decline yesterday, reversed a moderately good gain, and fell very, very sharply. They're currently up 3/32 here on the 30-year bond. Bigger news, yet we have another good upside day for the US dollar, extending that technical rally right across the boards, and that has led to additional weakness in the metals markets and commodity markets in general. As a matter of fact, it has unnerved a number of these markets that had previously held up reasonably well, including copper. Okay, now let's go back to the beginning in here. You know my view. I've been saying really since my mid-August, got back from my August cycling holiday, that the good upper dynamics in the middle of August indicated that we were in for a good technical rally. My best case scenario at that stage was that it would carry well into the first quarter of 2005, which is what it did, but it has run into trouble here, real trouble in March, for a number of factors that we've been able to cite. And the most important of those factors, I do feel, has been the rising long-dated government bond yields. Now, as far as the stock markets are concerned here today, we saw weakness in Asia pretty well across the boards. There were a few exceptions, but they were minor exceptions. And we saw a spillover of heavy selling in the, well, I don't know if the volume was heavy, but certainly some sharp declines in the European markets. Now, those have been pegged back because Wall Street's gone from a decline to the upside in here today. And the NASDAQ, which is an important one, shows the best gain. It's not that much of a gain at this stage, but I'm looking at the NASDAQ June futures, where I've got a short position. And that had dropped down early today to a low at 114.64, but it's currently at 114.88, the high of the day. So a 24-point rebound in here. Now, this is against the background of a short-term oversold condition, and the foot that long-dated government bonds had, I think, on the neck of the NASDAQ and other indices has been lifted a bit in here. But this is not, in my mind, any kind of a buying opportunity. I think this is still a really quite dangerous environment, and there's no evidence that this decline in the long-dated government bond yields is actually over. We had a little bit of additional slippage in the Australian market, which I think has been an important one in terms, again, leading in bonds as well. And the one bucking the trend here has been the JGBs, which surprised me by being up again today. Possibly that's in response to a decline that we saw in the Nikkei. Amazingly, that was fell 102 points. That was 0.87 of a percent. So still encountering resistance near the upper side of the developing base formation. That resistance just around the 12,000 level, which I do certainly expect to be taken out this year, but it may not be taken out until the selling squall has ended, and it may turn out to be, well, squall may be a mild descriptive word for it. But the main question in my mind, and I just don't have the answer to this, is will stock markets just keep going down, or until we get really oversold, in other words, complete a medium-term correction, which would take several months, and with very little up on the upside until that decline has completed and eventually creates another buying opportunity, at least for a decent technical rally? Or will we see markets steady relatively soon in response to a short-term oversold condition, go into ranging patterns, which may be characterized by an overall downward bias of lower highs on most indices, but would enable a few special situations to push back up and go to new highs, and would enable a number of indices to, particularly for emerging markets that had a good story, and some of the developed country stock markets to go up and retest their highs before, and you know, an established sort of a sideways ranging phase. Now, I've been asking this question out loud here for a number of days, as you're probably aware. And I say again, I don't know the answer, but what does concern me is that I would like to see markets move back up, as say, and retest the highs and so on. And I'm certainly not going to be unique in that respect, so a whole lot of other people probably would as well, which is one good reason why it wouldn't happen. In other words, even if you've lightened considerably, even if one has lightened considerably, we've all got positions that we might wish to lighten further in the event of a rally. I do, and I have lightened considerably. So that overhead supply may prevent that sort of recent top testing rally that I've been talking about as a possibility. It may overhead supply may actually prevent it. And in other words, that supply will come out either in a declining market, or people will just batten down hatches and decide to hold on to what they have remaining before we get a decent rebound. Now, going back to the government bonds, I do maintain that they're going to be the key overall in terms of what actually happens in here. They're going to be the most important factor in certainly in influencing stock markets, and they may well have quite an influence on some other markets as well. Okay, moving on now to this US dollar. The signals that we've had in well, starting really last week, I think it's been pretty good that the dollar was going to see a technical rally, having dropped down close to that 80 level, that prior support. And I've been saying that it did look to me as if we were going to see the US dollar index get back up and test its February high, which is up at around that 85 and a half level. And certainly the dynamics that we've seen, and coming off what technicians will start describing, or if they aren't already describing it as a double bottom, suggests to me that we will see the dollar index take out that February high. Now, I don't think this is the beginning of a sustained major recovery for the dollar. I don't even think it's the beginning of the bottoming out process, although it could be. That has to be said. So one's an opinion, but if I look at it technically and say, well, could it possibly be? The answer would have to be, of course, yes, that is a possibility. But I kind of doubt it myself overall. But more importantly than that, while the dollar is rallying, that will certainly influence other markets, such as weighing on precious metals, weighing on commodities in general, even where there's very, very strong demand. Now, the very strong, and I'm not talking about hedge fund demand, I'm talking about user demand. So even where that demand is extremely strong, there's no denial that, or I don't think anyone would deny, that the hedge fund speculative activity has contributed to those upward trends as well, and that's the money that is coming out of the market here right now and exerting the downward pressure. So even commodities that remain locked in backwardations, proving that there is a continuing shortage of nearby material in terms of dates, can certainly come down. It's the probability is, though, that as long as those backwardations are maintained and there's that strong underlying demand, that they would fall less and or recover more quickly. So they might fall quite sharply, but they would recover more quickly. Now, I just think in this environment, this is not a time to try to be too clever. In here, I do like to buy the dips in these commodity markets, as you know, and have done so repeatedly on a number of occasions, and I'm still doing that in silver, or with an additional purchase yesterday, and I do have further orders underneath the market. They're spread relatively thinly, though. So, but just to pick up a little more of what hopefully would be cheap silver in the event of an overshoot. But I say overall, this is a dangerous game until we see some evidence that the U.S. dollar's rally is actually ending or over. And certainly there isn't a shred of evidence to suggest that at this stage. And as I say, we had some, well, we've got some pretty good gains in here. The euro has dropped back under 130 to 129.82, and that's down over a cent. And we've got the yen, dollar against the yen. That's the one that I own. It was a conservative choice because those have both been weak currencies, so we didn't have the big reversal of positions in there. That's up at 106.04, up 42 ticks. Now, what's interesting is that those Antipodean currencies, and I had a good run last year and this year in the Antipodean currencies, and they have it was last autumn and earlier this year until I sold them a couple of days ago, and they've been pounded in here again today. I'm just looking at the Australian dollar, and that's down over a cent here at 77.16. The New Zealand dollar has a downward dynamic. Now that's just straight profit taking, people coming out of the positions that they already had, and so we're getting the sharp moves initially where the big dollar short positions are. That's pretty logical. My hunch is, though, that if the dollar rally does push up above that February high for the dollar index, that we will see trades such as the greenback against the Japanese yen do at least as well, if not better, than some of the other currencies, because once we've had the profit taking or cutting some losses on late purchases in things like the Antipodean currencies, then people will look around and they'll say, well, what do I want to? If I want to buy the dollar against something, am I going to go in and buy it where there's a big negative interest rate differential, or am I going to buy it where there is a positive and increasing interest rate differential? And that's dollar yen. Okay. Now, in terms of precious metals, we've had gold got up to 428.70 at one stage, currently 425.6. And looking around here, we see palladium. They're all being hit. It's come down to 193.90, so I missed an opportunity to grab profits at a higher level. Ditto silver, down 10 in here today, 697 and a half on the May contract. Last trade, and the platinum down another 9.5 in here today. I'm probably going to hold those positions and finance them rather than chop them out. I'm certainly not going to chop the silver out at a loss, and I still have a profit on the palladium current position, but I'm and a loss on the platinum open position, but I think I'm going to let these run overall, say, because I have cut back so much, and I do have that partial hedge on in the form of the US dollar long against the Japanese yen, albeit an asymmetrical hedge. And natural gas. I chopped out my natural gas position. I didn't want to let that one go, but I saw crude oil down 2.43. There are probably more there. Well, undoubtedly, there were more longs in the crude because that had been rising for a longer period of time. And natural gas had a good rally recently. And so, just as a precautionary measure, I took that gain. Another factor in my mind here, additionally, in reducing a little bit more exposure, I'm actually not going to be here next week. That's a short week because of the Easter weekend, in the sense that the UK markets, at any rate, are closed this Friday, Good Friday, and also closed on Monday, Easter Monday. But that has been an influence in my mind. Now, all of these commodities, I will, I do feel are in secular bull markets. Are certainly the industrial commodities, and there's certainly some evidence that we've seen important lows in the agricultural commodities. But I'll repeat what to me is an important point, in that I think it would be dangerous to go in and buy any of these agricultural commodities until we see some evidence that the US dollar rally is ending or over. And that begs the question, well, should one be shorting the various different commodity markets? Now, that's another story. I'd have to say, technically, you could justify it on the basis of the charts, definitely. But I'm not going to do it. I'm not even going to consider doing that because I don't like to, or I don't play what I regard as counter trend moves all that often. And as I wrap up this audio, we've got the Dow up 25 points, the S&P 4.25 and 9.25 on the NASDAQ composite. Have a splendid evening.